When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Been a minute since we've had Coach on following a loss. 3 months. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are y'all doing?
Good. Good. Let's start with the mood in the building, right? I mean, losing is not something you guys have had a lot of this season, and now the injuries on top of it. Just where are you guys at in the room right now?
Yeah, I mean, we're good. We're trying to get ready for Chicago, you know, after last night, you know, just trying to get up on this tape since that was a late one. You know, and that'll be really two games since we played them last that, you know, with kind of the new system in place, new coach, all that defensively, the head coach. So anyway, that's where we're at.
Is it like preparing for a brand new team? Obviously, the players aren't changing, but the system may be a little bit different, the way they're operating different. And we'll get back to what happened this weekend, but is it like almost preparing for a brand new team?
Yeah, a little bit it is, because you're trying to get their tendencies, you know. It's not Eberflus' fingerprint on it anymore. I mean, there's still enough of that that's there, because you're not going to go away from what was built, the team was built around, or the style they play, or the scheme, things of that nature. However, the way they do it, you know, like we know last night, they're going to try to be aggressive. You know, they're going to use four downs. They got nothing to lose. And so we got to be prepared for that. And then just defensively, what they're calling, Eric Washington's calling it on defense now. So just getting up to that. But and we'll get it. You know, we'll have a beat on this team, and be ready to go out there and play those guys.
Dan, I know you don't dwell on the injuries. It's you've said it's not really worth spending the energy on. But we've had spirited discussions on the show today about, if some fans are going, hey, we're grit, we're defiant, we're going to get this done. For those that are questioning it or maybe have some doubts, what would you say to those fans?
Well, let me say this first. Man, you know, anytime you lose players, man, it's hard. And it's, you know, the obvious that everybody sees is, you know, you lose the player and that production and what he's done on the field. But it's more than that to us. It's more to that, you know, the coaches and his teammates. I mean, they bring so much more to the table than just out there running around and trying to make plays. You know, what they bring to the locker room, the laughs you have, the bond you have with those guys. So when you lose a guy like Aleem McNeil, it's a big part of what we do. And Dave Montgomery and Khalil Dorsey and Carlton Davis, you know, man, those hurt. Those hurt, man, and you hate losing guys like that. But at the same time, we got an opportunity And, you know, I told those guys, and with anybody that's been hurt, no matter Hutch to Kaminsky to all of them, man, I don't want – this can't be in vain. These injuries that these guys – which all of our guys lay it on the line – but we can't let these injuries be in vain, man. All of those players helped us get to the point we're at. They helped us get – these last four helped us get to 12 wins. And we owe it to them to finish this thing out. And that's how I view it. And so it means there's another opportunity for other guys, you know. And look, I don't – you know what happens is, you know, you win 11 in a row, you know, and you lose, and then the sky falls. And I hate to say it, but we're not going to be able to win 11 in a row again for the rest of this season. We're just not going to be able to do it. And, you know, what happens is you get used to eating filet, and I'm talking to all of us, and well, everything's good. Life's good, you know. And but you forgot what it was like when you had nothing and you ate your folded bread, you know, and it was just fine, and it gave you everything you needed. And sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth and remember what it used to be like to really appreciate where you are. And we'll do that. And so we got a bad taste in our mouth. We got kicked around the other day. We lost a few guys. And you know what? It's exactly what we needed. This is exactly what we needed. So we're going to bounce back. We're going to respond. We got guys that are going to about to have an unbelievable opportunity here. And we will play the game any way needed to win. We still got a good offense. We got plenty of defensive players. I can go rattle them off right now. We're going to put the best 11 on the field. We're going to freaking cut it loose. We're going to play with our special teams. And I don't give a crap if we got to win by 1 point for the rest of the year. That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to be happy about it. We come out of the game with 50 yards of total offense and we win by one, you're going to see smiles on my face. I promise you. All right? If it's the other way defensively, we give up 700 yards and we win by 1 point, you're going to see a smile from my ear to ear. All right? I can promise you. So we're going to find a way and we're going to get it done.
So let's talk a little bit more about Sunday. And you said after the Tampa game, 55 passes, that's not a recipe. 59 against Buffalo, not a recipe to win. What were the challenges you guys faced in the run game? Why didn't it work?
Yeah, you know, oddly enough, it was one person here, one person there. And, man, the scheme was pretty good. We felt like there was a couple of things we didn't like how we designed them. We put our guys in tough positions. But then after that, it was, man, we've got everything we need on the front side, and then we're, you know, we don't get the backside block. Or we're, you know, we're late, we don't get up on the snap count. Or it's a receiver in here, it's the guard here, it's front side here. And it literally, we took turns, you know, one by one making those errors. And before the game kind of gets to where it's at, and now you're out of the run game completely. You know, because we ended up down. I mean, we only had 15 rushes. And certainly when you don't rush it good early in those, you're not going to continue to go back to them. It's just hard to do that. You know, so we'll get all that cleaned up. I'm telling you, I'm really not losing sleep over that. I know we'll get those things corrected. Those guys will bounce back. And, you know, there again, for the way that thing turned out, we protected well. We really did. We did a solid job of protection. Goff played really well. You know, guys made plays. It's just we can't put ourselves in that type of hole.
Talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell today, the onside kick. 12 minutes left, you're not getting enough stops, you want to steal a possession. There was a debate on the show about it. I understand it. You're trying to get an extra possession. Why not an onside kick again at the eight-minute mark? Like, were you second-guessing yourself?
Probably,
like, just what was the difference?
Okay. You know, probably should have. I mean, what it, you know, here's what puts a stink on it is when it gets returned down to the five, and that's not the reality. I mean, that's such a rare. It's not why you're kicking onside kicks for it's like, okay, worst case scenario, they're going to take it all the way down to the five. Well, that's a whole different variable you don't think about, you know, and you shouldn't have to think about it. It was just he made a hell of a play. He got it down there. But hindsight, I wish I would have gone ahead and done it on the next one.
Obviously, Gibbs' workload, touches, probably going to have to go up. Craig Reynolds will probably see more of him. How do you fill the void, the production left by David Montgomery?
Yeah, look, Gibbs is going to take on a bigger role here, and he's ready for that. He knows that. He understands that we'll use him. And the trick is really, you know, maximizing the reps that we use him, but yet not killing him, you know. I mean, he's needed, and he understands that, but we're still going to need some help out of Reynolds and Vaki and those guys. And that'll be the big thing here. But yeah, he's about to go up. And look, he's ready for this, man. He's gotten better and better all season. And now he's our lead horse. He's got to be ready to roll.
Replacing Carlton Davis, is there a consideration to putting Branch back out at corner, or you just don't want to do that because he means so much to you guys as kind of a rover or a safety? Is he someone you'd consider playing more at corner?
Yeah, we, you know, we're really looking at everything, and this is an ongoing discussion right now. And I'm actually, when I get done here, I'm going to go down there and we're going to talk a little bit more about it. But I mean, we've as of last night, we started to feel pretty good about what we think we may do. And we're you know, really the whole idea is everything that we've got on the roster, from practice squad to, you guys saw we brought Pittman back, you know, he knows our system. We know what he's about. We know he can play special teams and help us on defense in some capacity. But it's really, man, how do we maximize the guys that we have and where do we put them? And that's always going to be a discussion with Branches, man. You know, okay, where is he going to be most productive? All right. And then where are we going to be helped most defensively with where he's at versus everybody else? And so, and they may not be the same answers. And that's where it gets tough. So we're still tinkering with it a little bit. But, I feel good with where we're going to go. I really do. And I know it's doom and gloom. We got plenty of weapons now. We got plenty of good defensive players left here. And like I say, we'll play any way we need to. And we'll put our best 11 out there and let them go.
And I know that you mentioned it already in terms of you just got to score one more than the opponent. And if they run for 500 yards, if they get 700 yards of offense, it doesn't matter. You just got to score one more point. How do you get your offense to fixate on what they're doing is enough? And Jared Goff throws for 5 touchdowns, nearly 500 yards, and it's in a loss. How do you prevent them from trying to go outside of their role, of their skill set? Because players want to make plays. They want to win games, but you got to make sure that they're not trying to do more than they're asked to do. How do you prevent against that?
Yeah, you keep telling them that, John. You know, it's a great point. And it's even last week getting into that game. At one point, we were down 21 points. And, you know, I continue to tell Goff, hey, man, don't press it. Just stay the course. Take what's there. This thing will come back around, and you have to play that way. Now, you get the ball in your hands, protect it, all of that. You got to do something with it. But as far as the way we execute, man, we need everybody on point. Do exactly what you're coached to do. And then once you get the ball in the hands, you protect it. Now, let's go. Let's see if we can do something. And we need guys rallying to the football, finish downfield, block for your teammate. But it's just another emphasis on, man, the first down is the most important thing. First down, then touchdown. First down, then touchdown. And if we do that, man, we can execute at a very high level. And I mentioned before, we can alleviate pressure where needed. We can add a little bit, tinker a little bit. But that's why you play with three phases.
Last thing I was going to ask you about was how you get how you address the urgency gap from last week to this week, but I feel like you've kind of already answered that. It sounds like you guys are going to be raring to go when you play Chicago on Sunday.
Urgency will not be an issue this week. I can promise you that. We're going to be ready to roll, man. Our guys are going to walk in the door, and they're going to be hot tomorrow, and they're going to be ready to practice. We're going to get that bad taste out of our mouth, and we're going to go out to Chicago, and we're going to play much better.
As Lions head coach Dan Campbell, we appreciate your time. Thanks coach. Dan.
All right.
It's 97.1.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Doug Karsh, Gator out today. We've got Mike Stone in with us for a couple days here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hope everybody's holiday preparations are going well. Are you? How are you?
We don't actually do that much for Hanukkah.
Don't you?
You know, one daughter's in New Jersey. Other one lives here. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know. Like maybe a bad Jewish person. But, well, you know, we do have we used to have a party with, you know, Cindy's sisters and their kids. We'd give gifts. But it's not that big of a deal. I actually got Cindy something. She has no idea. It's going to be pretty cool.
You know, it's funny because we have a 22-year-old now who's in the real world and
yeah.
drawing a real paycheck. Mm-hmm. And we're like, do we still get him like Christmas gifts? Do you still?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't get the kid haul.
No.
Just making sure.
No.
At some point you make that change.
Yeah.
All right. So Lions preparing for the Bears coming up on Sunday. Let's talk to the quarterback. All right. Appear to be on hold with Jared.
A holiday
Kenny, hold? Can we check back with Jared?
I love hold music. Who decides what music that people should use when they're on hold?
All right, we got him. Take two in 3, 2, what? This is a almighty disaster. Jared Goff joins us now on 97.1 The Ticket.
See what happens when you have an interloper in here like me?
We got Stoney in for Gator today, and Jared Goff joins us. Jared, as always, thanks for being with us. So, obviously, losing a game is not the end of the world, but when you couple that with losing players, you know, that makes it an even a tougher loss. How would you describe the mood in the building as you turn the page and start getting ready for the Bears?
Mood in the building's fine. Yeah, of course, there's been some injuries. I think the mood everywhere else is like the sky's falling, but the mood internally is fine. I said it right after the game. I said, yeah, I'm sure everyone will say the sky's falling now, but no, the mood internally is fine. We refuse to use any of these injuries as an excuse, and we're going to be just fine. We've got all the pieces we need. Dan said it earlier. We got a ton of guys on defense. We're going to step up, create opportunities, and on offense, we're going to keep chugging along.
I don't know if you heard, Dan was on our morning show and got the whole city fired up. It's gone viral. Is that the way he speaks to you?
It's the way he speaks to all of us. He's telling the truth. Yeah. You know, there's no fluff about it. He's being honest, he's being sincere, he's being genuine, and he's right. You know, if we reacted like everyone else outside of us, we'd have no chance.
You know, I know that Jared Goff hears stuff, and there are some talking heads saying the Lions are done. And I think there's some depressed fans who come from a loving place that think that they can't overcome these injuries. What do you say to those people who are just are depressed about everything that's happened to you guys?
What are they depressed about?
Well, that they're worried that the defense has lost too many guys. Now David Montgomery's out, and they just, like, can they overcome all that?
Sure, yeah. I'm telling you right now, we can. Don't be depressed. We're fine. We're 12-2. We got 3 games ahead of us. We're in good shape.
Okay, Jahmyr Gibbs, obviously he's going to take on a heavier load. And there's a few things about this. One is he's one of the most explosive players in the league, without question. The questions are, can he handle the load? And what happens when defenses are only scheming against just Gibbs and not Montgomery? Those are some of the challenges you'll have with him moving forward.
Sure, yeah, he can handle the load. I mean, we'll have to spell him with somebody else, I'm sure, but he's one of the best backs in the league. I mean, I don't know what you mean. Like, yeah, he can handle the load. He'll be just fine. Obviously, losing David hurts, but we'll overcome it just like we've overcome everything else this year.
In short yardage situations, would it be premature to think that the kid, Vaki, who seems like a bowling ball, would be a good guy to take Montgomery's spot in those situations because he seems very difficult to bring down?
Yeah, or we just put it on my back. I'll just QB sneak everything.
Well, yeah, when it's real short, there are times I'm sitting in the press box and just sneak it yourself, and you've been pretty successful at that.
Yeah, I got a pretty high batting average on that, so maybe we'll just do that, or maybe I line up back there. Who knows?
What about Craig Reynolds? He hasn't had they haven't had an emergency break glass situation, but we've seen him in the past do some good things. For his career, he averages over 4 yards a carry. What does Craig bring to the table?
Craig's been a stud, yeah. Ever since he's gotten here, he's filled in when needed and done a great job. Had a nice touchdown last year in the playoff game. He's played great in certain moments for us, and a guy that we trust tremendously. And if his number's called, I know he'll be ready.
When you watch what you saw across the field on Sunday, you had a great game, obviously. 5 touchdown passes. Is Josh Allen playing at a different level right now the last month since they beat Kansas City?
Yeah, what he's doing right now is pretty special. It is pretty tremendous, and I think even the plays that you thought were going to be negative plays, he was able to make something happen, and it's tough to stop, and certainly he showed that against us, showed it the week before, and like you said, the last month, and he's playing some good ball.
You have that chest pass touchdown that in your repertoire. Now, theirs didn't count, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm glad it didn't count. You know, I told them after the game, so you don't got to go chest pass on us. But you know, I'm glad they called that one back.
Dan Skipper, great play, but I want to talk a little bit about yards after catch. He not only reels in the ball, turns upfield, good ball security, puts his shoulder down, and gets into the end zone. Evaluate Dan Skipper on that play for us.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was cool to see him score there, and like you said, lower his shoulder on the guy. You know, I don't know if he had to do that, but he kind of, you know, craves contact, and go ahead and dropped his shoulder on the defensive back there and finished it in.
When you look at what you have this week, the Chicago Bears, even though their record stinks, they haven't won in, like, it seems like 2 years. I mean, they're in a big losing streak. They looked bad last night. They play you guys really, really tough. What concerns you about them going forward?
Yeah, they're a good team. They've played us tough, like you said, in the past. And I think last year, you know, we didn't win in Chicago, so that's something that we'd like to get checked off our list this year. They're a great team. They're got really good players on defense. They're playing with a little bit more life now. And, yeah, they're doing a lot of stuff that's good. And I know they got beat last night, but I'm sure they'll be ready to play for us.
Do you try to scheme yourselves away from Jalen Jackson, who seems to be one of those really, really good cover guys?
Jalen Johnson? Yeah, he's a great player. No, that's all right. He's a good player. I scheme away from him. I don't know if that's really the answer. You're just aware of where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
He is a good player. He is jumpy. He has gotten the ball from me a couple times, so I'm certainly aware of him, but I don't know if scheming away from him is really the answer.
You guys really did move the ball against Chicago the first time, just weren't sticking it in the end zone. Is that game film particularly useful to go back and say, okay, here's what we need to do different, or was it just one of those days?
Yeah, you know, it was just kind of one of those days, but sure, yeah, I think you go back and you look at it, and you take it with a grain of salt because I'm sure they're going to do something a bit different, and you know, we're going to do something a bit different, so you try to play that chess game in your mind of what they're going to do, what you want to counter it with, and we'll have answers for everything. But yeah, certainly if we were able to finish in the red zone that game, it would have probably been a little bit of a bigger margin of victory.
By the way, it did, you know, he did drop the ball, but anybody who can question whether you can throw the long ball, I think those were erased with the bomb to J-Mo yesterday. Would you agree with that?
I don't know. That's not up to me, man.
The goal is the one seed and has been all along. And it's so close. Like, you guys are getting there. How much is that talked about and discussed with 3 weeks to go, three big games? The pack is really tight at the top of the NFC. How important is it, and how much do you guys discuss it?
Yeah, I don't know if we discuss it. We're certainly aware of it, but how much the home field advantage is a big factor. I was on a team in 2018. We had a first-round bye. That was back when they had two teams at the first-round bye. And yeah, certainly a big deal. Now, we did go on the road that year and win a game on the road. And so you can do that too. Like, it's not the end of the world if you have to go on the road. But yeah, of course, you would like to get that home field advantage. You'd like to get, you know, teams coming in here to Detroit to play in front of our fans and make the whole thing go through Detroit, which would be ideal.
It is the holiday season, and I forgot all the details, but what you did with the scholarships that you guys gave out the other day, talk about, if you can, what that means to you, be able to help out in this community the way you have.
Yeah, it means a ton. I've always tried to do that, and so ever since I got to Detroit, to be involved and to help where I can and see some need and be able to give back, it's important to me and something I take a lot of pride in and try to make sure I can make an impact every year. And this year, yeah, it was fun to give that to those kids and give them a little tour of the facility and show them around and see their eyes light up a little bit. It was fun.
The website for your foundation is JG16, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, JG16, if you want to go support it. Jared, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Good luck. We'll talk again next week.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Hey, you guys do me a favor. Spread some positivity, all right?
We're working on it. We are working on it, Jared. Right. I can tell.
We'll be just fine.
All right. Okay? Good to know.
All right. See
Thank you,
guys.
Jared Goff. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. First of all, he definitely hears what's being said.
Yeah.
And secondly, I love that he hears what's being said.
Yes and no. We'll get to that.
Okay, we will.
Yeah, that'll really do it. Let's give you a couple hundred grand when you're making 38 mil a year. That'll really move the needle. Good God. In-season cup. All right, let's do the business. I want to talk Lions. So yesterday was cathartic. We had a therapy Monday. Both Rico and I are pretty aligned on this. I no longer expect this team to win the Super Bowl. I simply hope they do. And that's a major departure from how I talked about them since summer. And when you lose multiple Pro Bowlers on top of a season of injuries, I mean, in comparison, the Eagles have four players on IR. You have 22, 19 of which are on defense. I can't go on the air and lie to you and say, hey, you're winning it all. I'm not going to do that. Just like I'm not going to get on the air and say, hey, Hutch said on a pod he's going to play. Yeah, okay. No, he's not. But thank you. If it happens, it's miraculous. I don't depend on miracles. I'll leave that for David at church on Sundays to sell me water into wine. Second of all, you'd have to get to the Super Bowl for there to even matter. The whole crux of the conversation is you're not getting there because the injury gods have taken it from us. So what I want to see is this. While most fans are in a state of denial, I want to live in reality. Can we reset the goal, Rico? And before we have a Super Bowl conversation, let's set the goal in what we would need to do to have that convo. Because I do think, in your Doctor Strange language, there is only one way out of this. There is one way that I think we could at least have a remote Super Bowl conversation. And that is, they must, as a non-negotiable, they must get the one seed. There is no scenario in my mind that this team with this level of injuries can survive without a bye week and playing one less playoff game, that they need to go 3-0. Now, you're going to play a corpse this week in the Bears. Then you play a semi-corpse in the Niners. Then you're going to play an allegedly good team that I just feel is the Pittsburgh Steelers in different uniforms, the Vikings. Now, the Vikings is the game we all look at and go, okay, that's a problem. But Rico, is the new standard the following? Forget about Super Bowl talk, forget about the playoffs, and forget about whatever injury fantasies you have. In the here and now, can you go 3-0 so we get to re-engage those conversations? Is that fair? Is that something you think I have a chance of getting everyone on the same page with?
You know what? It's funny. First of all, I'm so glad you took the time to watch that movie, because I love the fact that you make Marvel references when you try to.
Well, it's a holiday season. I'm in the giving mood.
Second, yeah, I think that that is the only way. You have to run the table for the rest of the year. You're going to be fortunate because you are playing the Bears, who just seem to be in a free fall.
They're dead.
You got the Niners, who should be playing for a draft pick right now, and you may not even see some of their players anymore. They may just go ahead and sit Brock Purdy and just play the backups. It does come down to a game with the Vikings. But my thing is, before we quickly just dismiss the Vikings, like, oh, we can beat them. Okay, when you played them the last time, it came down to a field goal in the final seconds to win the game. So I'm not that quick to dismiss this Minnesota team. I don't care what color the quarterback's hair is. That's a good team out there. They're playing good football right now.
Yeah, and by getting the one, you play one less playoff game, and whatever games you play are here. If you want to reengage a Super Bowl conversation, all I'm trying to do is back up the truck, forget about all the pain and anguish of the last 48 hours. Guys, do you believe this team can get the one seed? And do you believe it's the only pathway? Shout out Dr. Strange. I truly believe if they aren't the one seed, they're not going to the Super Bowl. Like, they will have no chance at it.
Yes.
They need a bye week desperately.
Because
they
here's
need
the thing.
To play one less game.
Yeah. Because, Mike, here's the thing. If you don't get the one seed, chances are you're going to now be the five seed, and you're either flying out to L.A. or you're flying out to Seattle to face two quarterbacks that I don't think this team wants to face. So, yes, you don't run the table, and there is no Super Bowl.
They got to go 3-0.
Yes.
They got to go 3-0. They got to bounce back. Two of these games they'll be favored in. I would expect they'll be favored, but again, the results could impact whether they're favored in that finale. If this defense goes out and gives up 230 burgers the next 2 weeks, don't be shocked if you're not favored in that finale. And again, Las Vegas, hey, they don't control everything, but I listen when they speak. They have reacted. The Lions went from being the prohibitive favorite to win the Super Bowl to now being the third or fourth choice in a matter of 24 hours and falling. It matters. These injuries are that damaging. So I'd like to know where you guys are at with it. 248-539-9797. David, what do you think? Am I able, do you think, to get a majority of people on the board here? Let's table Super Bowl discussion. If you have any hope of getting there, we need to go 3-0. Agree or disagree?
I do agree with that, and I do think that the most people would also agree with it. I think they'll fall in line because that has to be the scenario where you get the bye week, and then you get the worst team in the division around, and then it's possible. That is the only way.
Win some shootouts on the fast track.
Yes.
Inside.
The only way. You get both games at home. The only way possible is that scenario.
Crowd noise.
Correct.
Causing some penalties. The problem is, I think you're thinking logically, I'm thinking logically, Mike is thinking logically. Earlier today, Dan Campbell came on the morning show. He fired up the city. And I think that the city believes there's more than just one way. Like, as he said, we just got to go out and win games, and it's fired up. Dave, you got a little snippet of this? Here it is. Here's Dan Campbell from the morning show. So that was Dan Campbell this morning on the morning show. He dropped another F-bomb. He was fired up. So.
Yeah, but I mean, talk is cheap. I mean, I love Dan Campbell, but what's a guy supposed to say? Right. Yeah, we're effed. Lost all my good players. Goulet. Hey, can we play Dear John? Like, no, I mean, he's going to come on the air and say that. He has to say that. It's who he is.
No,
it's
no.
What he believes.
But, Mike, I'm saying after him saying that, I think a lot of Detroiters are now saying, screw it, we're still going to win the whole thing. Because did you hear what Dan? I'm ready to run through a wall for him.
But the problem is Dan Campbell's words don't play defensive tackle at an all-pro level.
This man's on his game today.
You know what I mean?
No, like, you're right.
I get so tired of words. I love Dan Campbell, but like, I'm going to sound like Rick Pitino after the Celtics lost by 50. Larry Bird ain't walking through that door. Aleem McNeil's not walking through that door. Carl Davis not walking through that door. Hutch is limping still. He ain't walking through that door. So I just, Rico, I get tired of, well, Dan Campbell said, look, Dan Campbell's a great football coach. And I think Dan Campbell doesn't BS you at all. And Dan Campbell has to believe that. The guys in that locker room have to believe that. But we aren't in that locker room. We don't need to subscribe to that. Mm-mm. We live in reality.
Right. It's
not his fault.
No.
It's not this team's fault. It's not Brad Holmes' fault. It's not the players' fault. They got screwed by the football gods.
If this team has to go out and start their first game the week after playing Minnesota, which means you do not get a break, which means you don't get some guys to get healed up to come back,
oh,
you got to travel brutal. Out, travel to the West Coast, to L.A., or even further to Seattle. No, I don't think you win that game. And I think that it's going to be an unfortunate end to this season. Yeah, if you can run the you have to be at home as the number one seed, bye week, rested players. And at that point, I still don't think it's a guarantee. But at some point, if you're not the one seed, you're going to end up in probably Philly, Green Bay's playing good football. Or maybe you have to go someplace else in Minnesota.
Dude, you got to play an extra game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. There's no team in football that needs a bye week more than this one currently, right here. The idea of playing an extra game on the road. Look, for anyone who wants to bring up the 07 Giants, go ahead. You're right. It was one of the most unlikely Super Bowls in history. Went at Tampa, at Dallas, at Green Bay. I get it. I was there. Guys, that's Disney stuff. This team was the prohibitive favorite. I'm not relying on Disney memories or a once every 50-year Super Bowl run in order to justify hope. Can they is not the conversation. Any team that makes the NFL playoffs can, but the odds are greatly reduced with what went down Sunday with those injuries, on top of already having more defensive players on the IR than any other team in football. That's the conversation. So we've asked the question. We have arrived at Doctor Strange. There is only one way. Must get one seed. Must get by. Must stay home. Do you subscribe to that? Can they go 3-0? Yes. I could see a situation that they can win shootouts short term. That doesn't work in the playoffs. I don't believe it'll work there. I don't believe it'll be great, especially if you have to go outside, especially if you have to play an extra game. Like, do you know who needs a bye week right now? Frank Ragnow. Can't prove it. I'm not reporting anything. Watch the games. That dude's a warrior, but that dude looks like his body is betraying him. You need a bye week like we as humans need oxygen. Mm-hmm. Dan Campbell's got to get on the air and say that. He's got to deliver that message to his team. Dan Campbell will never show weakness. He can't. That's not how you run a locker room. Dan Campbell will show you emotion. He will show you how much he cares for his players. That's not weakness. But you can't show weakness. You can't be rattled. So, yeah, the speech, it's fun. It made for great radio. Cool. It has no impact on my opinion. Nor should it.
No. But like I said, I think it may affect some opinions of the people of Detroit.
I know. 248-539-9797. I want to hear Kenny's opinion, but I know he's screening calls. We'll get to him next as Lions superfan. Straight up. Let's talk about going 1-0 each of the next 3 weeks. The only way that they have a shot to really deliver on what we all thought they could do in their current situation is the one seed, right? Like, there's no other way, is there?
Correct.
Well, let's find out what the people have to say about it.
Oh, we've been waiting for this one.
Yeah.
Because now you got some decisions to make.
Yeah, some tough decisions. And, you know, you start to rank losses at this time of the year, not just wins. And the bonus coverage we had a couple of weeks ago about the MVP race, I think, can we all agree that it's Josh Allen?
Yep.
Is there anything he can do in the final 3 weeks that really detracts from his case?
Not really.
I mean, I think that's almost a done deal.
Yeah, barring like a 5-interception day and then another 5-interception day and then another. Yeah. Like, he's got this on lock.
And just to add some more context to what we're talking about, because as you get to this time of the year and you're talking about the top six teams, it's kind of hard to get 5 and 6 sometimes.
Yep.
And you had a stat before we came out here about playoff teams and how there's a great division between the haves and have-nots.
This year, we may, based on this weekend's games, have the field set 2 weeks early. Not seeding.
Right.
But the teams will be in and locked in with 2 weeks to go. That hasn't happened since 1970, which speaks to no middle class in the NFL.
Right. The haves, the have-nots. So so now we're already talking about 14 teams that are more than likely your playoff teams.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of seeding. We all know that the Detroit Lions, hey, you win out, you control your own destiny, you're going to be the number one seed in the NFC. So what does that mean right now with the results that we had last week? Well, just a quick review. Week 15, it was Lions at 1, Bills at 2, Kansas City at 3, Minnesota at 4, Philly at 5, and then Pittsburgh at 6. And so what do we have this week? We have some teams that are a lot of 8-6 teams where I'm looking at it going, okay, well, Seattle, could you do us a solid and beat Minnesota? That would be nice. The Rams, the Chargers, Tampa Bay, a lot of teams that are getting hot going into the playoffs, but I don't necessarily know how much damage they could possibly do, and they certainly don't get into the top six, but they could beat somebody in the top six.
Yep.
You've also got Baltimore, Washington, Denver, and Houston, all at 9-5. So you've got some teams in there. Denver, like, what do we really believe about them? Baltimore is kind of that team where they've been in the top six and they're back out, just trying to figure out how good Baltimore is. And Lamar Jackson, he was the front runner for MVP for a long time. And then obviously we got Green Bay at 10-4. What do we do with them? Well, they're not in the top six. Pittsburgh stays at number six, even though they lost. But they lost to the Eagles, who last week were the number five team. The Eagles, having won, will actually bump up a little bit. Minnesota drops down one spot into the five spot. So they are at 12-2. They beat the Bears. Kind of anticipated that they would beat the Bears, yeah. Much like we're anticipating the Lions beat the Bears. The Bears are an absolute dumpster fire, but Pittsburgh losing to the Eagles, not going to dock them a whole lot, because I still think, I think if you put them on the field with Green Bay, you put them on the field with Baltimore, you put them at this point, they're the better team. Minnesota at 5, I mentioned that. Now here's where we get into some fun. I mentioned KC at 3 last week. KC, even though they beat the Browns, bumped down to number 4. And you ask why? Well, Philly, I think, is a better offensive team. I think they're comparable defensively. And as you do a little deep dive into why has Kansas City struggled this year? You say they're a 13-1 team. They haven't struggled. Well, they've only scored 30 points twice. Offensively, with Patrick Mahomes, Kelce, the injury that they've had, they added D-Hop, but it really hasn't added a whole lot of offense. And it was still, what is it, 21-7 win over the Browns. And that was with Jameis Winston, the quote machine, throwing 3 more interceptions, ended up being benched for DTR.
Yeah, the Chiefs got 6 takeaways in that game.
Yeah. They're at 4. And I've got Philly at 3, beating the Steelers. I was kind of hopeful that that was going to be the game that they might drop and it might give the Lions a little breathing room. No, they've seemingly put some of the off-the-field issues behind them. Not going to bump them up past that. So obviously we've got 2 teams left. Bills, Lions. No chance the Lions stay at 1. So Lions bump down to 2. Not going to fault them too much, because last week I had Buffalo as the number 2 team. So number 2 beats number 1. You just simply change spots. And I still think the Lions, I know that there's a bunch of injuries, and I talked about injuries playing a part of this. Philly also suffered some injuries. Jalen Hurts has a broken finger, not on his throwing hand, and feels like he's still going to play. Landon Dickerson didn't finish the game, was hurt. They've had some injuries on defense. So both teams are battling some injury issues. So that's why Philly stays at moves to 3. Lions stay at 2. Are only fall to 2, and the Bills are the number 1 team in the NFL going into week 16.
Okay.
Issues you may have.
Yes, I have issues with it. I always do. Please, and you guys do as well. 248-539-9797. You kind of lumped in Detroit's injuries with Philly's injuries. They are not the same.
They're not the same.
Season enders for the Lions.
Sure.
We're talking playable injuries for Jalen Hurts and some of the Eagles players.
Okay, yeah, but your quarterback has a broken finger on a hand. It can affect some of the plays that you're calling. It can affect the handoff to Saquon Barkley. It can affect a lot of things.
But don't lump them in as Lions and Eagles both have injuries.
Well, your quarterback has an injury. It's a big deal.
One has 22 guys on IR.
Right.
The other one is the Eagles. I would have the Lions not 1, not 2, and not 3.
Oh.
I'd put the Lions 4th behind Buffalo, Philly, and Kansas City.
Okay.
for all the sky is falling, I still think they're one of the four best teams. But there's work that has to be done. They slide down because of the loss, and not just one loss, but the losses that went with it. How they lost and then the injuries that went with it. John, I would put the Vikings five. You had them five as well?
Yes.
Okay, and then six, I would put Green Bay over Pittsburgh.
You know, I wrestled with that one, and as much as I don't like Russell Wilson, I just don't trust Jordan Love to be able to make the plays in a key moment in key games. Like, we've seen his ability to turn the ball over at key moments is just tremendous.
The team I would not sleep on, and I'll say it for the second week in a row, Houston. I've not been overly impressed with them, but the opportunity to pick up some significant wins the next couple weeks. They play Kansas City and Baltimore. Yeah. If they can win one or both of those games, they will be in. I have to imagine at that point they would be in the power surge.
Yes, but the problem that I'm having with Houston is C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is, at this point, like, he just hasn't been as productive. I know Nico Collins was hurt for a little bit of the year. He's back now. They still haven't been able to find that chemistry that they had last year. C.J. Stroud, while I think he's a better player this year, is not as productive as he was last year, is not having as much influence on games as he had last year.
He's not having it because everybody overlooked just how easy their schedule was last year.
Right.
It was so stinking easy that they lit up a bunch of bad defenses. I agree with you, Jim. I perked my ears a little bit. Their defense this week, and that's going back to D'Amico Ryans and the type of coach he is, a defensive-minded coach, that maybe if their defense can get right, and they'll show it these next couple weeks against Kansas City, but especially Baltimore, they could be a little sneaky. But you're right. Stroud's got to get – he's got to find at least some of the magic from last year. Yeah. I just don't know if he can. Mixon's been good for them, actually. If I were to change anything, I might go Buffalo-KC 1-2. And I'm starting to rank it based on the QBs. The QBs matter.
The QBs do matter.
And Mahomes looks like he's going to be okay.
Yes, in terms of the injury, yes. The high ankle sprain is a mild high ankle sprain. I think he's going to be fine. I think he is actually going to play this week. But he hasn't been the same Mahomes as he's been in the previous years.
I think I would put the Lions ahead of Philly at three because the Lions has just lost to two better teams. I mean, Atlanta did. Yeah. They did lose to Atlanta, Philly. I mean, you're splitting hairs there. Vikings five for sure. I would not put the Packers six because they have a 1-3 record in the NFC North. You know, and again, they've piled up wins more than anybody against like mediocre bad teams. There's so many bad teams this year.
Right.
I don't ever remember a season where there's like. It seems like there's 10 to 12 teams that are just horrendous.
Well, and here's the other thing. When you're talking about the injuries do matter. But let's not forget the Thursday night game where they played against Green Bay. And while we didn't think Aleem McNeil was going to be out for the year, he was not in that game. DJ Reader, not out for the year, but he was not in that game. They have proven that they can beat teams that run the ball without a large part of their defensive line. So that's why I still have them at two. Now, this will be telling this week. You're not going to learn a lot against the Bears, but we will see scheme. We will see how they're going to use some of these players. Who's going to fill those spots? Broderick Martin is going to have to step up and be a man.
One question. Two teams that are surging, the Rams and Bucks. Who do you guys think is better?
The Bucks.
I do, too.
I think
they're a better overall team.
Boy, you're really splitting hairs when you're talking about that. But if you're talking as a competitor, I'll take both of those quarterbacks. I think I would be more worried about the passing game of the Rams versus what I see from Baker Mayfield. I know Mike Evans is healthy and he's a threat, but I would be more worried about that Rams offense.
Bucks beat both the Eagles and the Lions this season.
Yeah,
I would put them slightly ahead of the Rams in terms of the surging teams. John's got the Lions two. Tom says three. I say four. Where would you rank the Lions?
He's back to crashing the bus. Costa, bus driver.
I've disrespected them by saying they're the fourth best team with mounting injuries.
We got officially. Is 15-2 over?
No, I think they're going to go 15-2. Okay. It's 97-1.
Doug Karsh. Gator out today. Blitz thingy coming up today at 10:30. Swing around the NFL. Got a Lions theory at 11. Mix in other stuff as well. 248-539-9797. Lions and Bears coming up on Sunday. We all know why it's important in the short term. Bears defense has struggled of late. I will be seriously growing concerned. It's maybe all the way to I am concerned if the Lions don't run the ball against the Bears. If the Lions don't run the ball against Chicago, I will, but the offensive line, which has been great, and I still think they're great, and I suspect that they are going to be great this weekend. But if they don't run the ball against this Bears defense, I will be concerned. I guess I'll be officially concerned. Because the run game feels to me like the foundation of everything they do. And if you take a look at you know, the last couple of games, it hasn't been great. It hasn't been great. That happens throughout the course of it. Seasons are long, stuff changes. And the players aren't chess pieces. There's variation from week to week. Sometimes collectively they just don't have a good game. They should be able to run the ball against this team. Meanwhile, Caleb Williams, I mean, what we're talking about here is a rookie quarterback who does rookie quarterback things. And I don't think there's any reason to make long-term judgments on what he is going to be. I mean, if we were doing this show in Chicago, I'd be like, all right, let it play out here a little bit. He's just gotten started, but there are inconsistencies. The thing about the Bears, too, is watching them play this year, they look like a classic team where people say, if they could just be consistent. This guy can play. That guy can play. Yeah, they got to be more consistent. Which, you know, my theory on that, the difference between being bad, average, and good, everybody can make a play here and there. The ones that can do it consistently, that's what makes them great players. That's what makes a team great. You're not a great team just inconsistent. It, being inconsistent is exactly what keeps you from being a good team, an average team. Everyone's got talent. Everyone can make a play here and there. Everyone can have a good game here and there. But I grew sick and tired of that when the Lions were, you know, being the Lions and doing the last, you know, the whole 60 years thing. Yes, we all saw it. And when we get those calls, say, they got talent. They're good. They're just inconsistent. No. No, that's, yes, they have talent. Everybody has talent. But the inability to make plays repeatedly is what makes you bad. That's what I think the Bears are right now.
Yeah, and they're going to have the Bears are a type of team that has more bad days than good days at this point. And the key is for the Lions is you don't want him to have that good day on you, right? Because it's going to happen. I mean, he's got the skill set. The Bears have playmakers. They have the ability to win games. They're not winless this year. One of the ways you win and make sure they don't have a good day, the Bears don't have a good day, is you run the ball, like you said. I think that establishes a couple things. One, you get back to the grassroots of where this team is built, the offensive line. Two, you play bully ball. You wear down the other team. You break their will when you run the ball well against teams. It softens them up. We know the Lions can throw the ball, but when you're able to run the ball against a team, like I said, it kind of breaks their will. There was that Honolulu flu going around. Remember, after each week, the team that played the Lions would lose the following week because it was a physical game. They got to get back to physicality, not missing assignments. The weakest link, you know, you're only strong as your weakest link on that offensive line. One guy misses an assignment, the whole play could break down. They got to get back on track. I believe they do that against the Bears. And like I said, make sure that Caleb Williams and the Bears don't have that one good week this week because they are very inconsistent. Caleb Williams, I think he has the skill set to be a good quarterback, but he acts like he's playing Utah State every week. You can't just run around back there for 14 seconds and then fling the ball in the air and someone's going to come down. Well, your guy is going to come down with it. It didn't happen. This isn't the Pac-12. This is the NFL. That's a lot harder to do at this level.
Yeah, and look, the end of the game, Eberflus got fired because of it, the Thanksgiving Day game and the way it was executed, but they put way too much on a rookie quarterback's plate when they had a timeout. Like, understand you wanted to save the timeout, get to the line of scrimmage. It was third and long. You weren't going to get a first down most likely, so whatever we could do to get closer to kick the field goal, then call timeout. But they put way too much on his plate. He's changing the play. He shouldn't have had that option. And they ran out of time, and that was like that was coach. That falls back on the coaching because their rookie quarterback wasn't prepared and didn't execute in the moment. But honestly, if you think about it, the last time the Lions felt like they were the best version of themselves was in that first half on Thanksgiving against the Bears. Sure, there were concerns about them not putting the ball in the end zone. But that first half against the Bears, remember, the Bears didn't get a first down till late in the first half. The Lions had pieced together four scoring drives, unfortunately resulting in three field goals. They were going in for a fifth when Gibbs fumbled. At halftime of that game, the Detroit Lions had rushed for 144 yards on 21 carries, 6.9 yards per carry. That was the last time that the Lions truly looked like a juggernaut. Now, the win over Green Bay was a good win. Don't get me wrong. But I think that was the last time the first half against the Bears where they looked like the best version of themselves. And since then, they've lost more players. They might get a few back here this week. Fatu Melifamu being maybe the biggest of one. Emmanuel Mosley could be back, which is where you sort of, you know, what's the biggest thing of that? Well, it might be just getting Vildor off the field. And Vildor hasn't been as bad, but it feels like those guys are upgrades there. But what I say, they rushed for 144 yards in the first half. They finished with 194 yards. Like that first half against the Bears, that's who they need to get back to being. Even if they are kicking field goals, it's better than they were stopping people and they were making plays. So here's some feedback. Knuckles has been cleared to play by in Africa by a witch doctor. That's from an unnamed texter. Another unnamed texter. If you could turn off injuries like Madden, I would match this Lions team up against any team in the league and take the money line. Next text. The main reason Lions fans are freaking out, even though we are 12-2, it's because Minnesota is playing out of its what is that word? I don't know what that word is. Playing out of its mind, I think he meant to write. Minnesota's playing out of its mind. They have the number one seed wrapped up by now. They'd have had the number one seed wrapped up by now. No, they wouldn't. Philly's there too. If the Lions had the same defense as they did in week two, what do you think people would be saying right now? These guys are unstoppable is what they'd be saying. That's from Brian in Berkeley. Regarding the first call, what the F is this guy talking about? They're 12-2. It's from Mike and Flint. Regarding the third opinion from David Montgomery, are we sure the first two opinions were the same for Montgomery? Maybe one said yes, one said no. I suppose that's possible. I suppose it's possible. All right, just a reminder, you can stream the show with video. Go to twitch.tv and youtube.com. Great places to watch the show and participate in the streaming chat. You can also stream just the audio on the Odyssey app. Download if your mobile device today. AUDACY. And streaming through our website, 971theticket.com. All right, let's swing around the NFL next with the Wide Nine Omaha Four Down Around League Blitz thingy. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.
All right. Okay, there you go. It's 3 o'clock. Good to have everybody with us. TJ Lang has joined us. Hi.
Happy holidays.
It would be if you could explain this what is happening in this town.
We could say Merry Christmas.
No, well, we're very good.
Happy Hanukkah to Kenny, but...
That would be news to me. All right.
No, I do not celebrate Hanukkah.
Oh, fooled me.
All right. Can we, I don't know. What is happening here? Can we please focus?
Let's talk drones.
We have. Let's not.
Yes. Wait, is that still going on? I don't want to derail
yes,
you real quick.
It is.
Is that still going on?
Yes.
Okay. I've seen some frightening theories about.
Yeah. Can we focus?
True. Yes.
Can we please?
I wanted to get the current affairs done.
Okay. First. All right. Here's a current affair. You're an idiot. Now listen. Listen.
We took Penei
Sewell,
seconds.
Aaron Glenn. Who the hell are they even talking to? Where are these fans that have said, that's it. I'm not watching the team no more.
People have said that?
That's my point. Did you hear Aaron Glenn? Did you hear Penei Sewell?
About people not watching? No. I heard them talking like, hey, this, you know, everybody thinks the sky's falling, you know, the season's over. I've seen that.
Yeah, but here's my question. How can doom and gloom or sky is falling be equated to, look, I just don't think they're the favorite to win the Super Bowl anymore. I don't think that qualifies. Saying they are absolutely winning the Super Bowl, we're getting a parade, and now I'm like, look, it's got a hell of a lot harder. not the loss to Buffalo, the loss of awesome football players.
Yeah, the injuries.
What is going on here?
Well, I think sometimes you have to speak into existence the hope and the belief that you still have. And do I think this team is done? Absolutely not. Do I think the gap shrunk a little bit between you and other teams in the NFC, Philly, Minnesota? I think so. But I'm still under the impression that they still have a ton of talent on this roster that's going to have to pick it up and take it to another level. So I think that's where I'm at. I'm not on board with, oh, the season's over. And maybe early in the week I was, when it was like Aleem. And then 10 minutes later, you find out about Carlton Davis. And then 30 minutes goes by, and it's like, oh, David Montgomery, like, good, yes. What is happening? Just stop. Just bubble wrap everybody right now. Just stop. So I went through that period where it was like, oh, finally, the year that, you know, everybody was about to have and
it
nice
got taken,
things.
It feels like it got taken away from us.
Yeah, but right. As the week's gone on, it's like, you know what? This is football, dude. Like, I played football for a long time. You understand you're going to lose, guys. It's going to sting. It's going to hurt. But at the end of the day, you get to those different levels of grief where it's, you know, denial and you're angry about why it's happening. I think they're at the point now where it's like, there's nothing we can do about it. What are we going to do? Sit here and sulk and cry and say, oh, man, you know, we lost a couple of our good players. No, we still have a ton of talent on this roster. We all know we're going to have to pick it up another level, specifically on the offensive side, because the defense has been battered and bruised this entire season. So I think maybe that's where some of that those talking points come out. When you do talk to the media, in the focal points of, you know what, like, people can write us off, they can say what they want, injuries, whatever it is, we still believe in ourselves.
And see, right there, I think it's more of a, you're trying to convince yourself, okay, guys, the world's not over. Because to me, as I told Mike, it's like one of those arguments, and you're arguing with somebody, and you're like, well, who are you trying to convince, me or you? Like, they're trying to... It's like Campbell gave them the speech, and they're giving the speech to each other, but they're using the media to talk to, well, the people aren't believing. No. Nobody's doubting you. I think it's just the room trying to galvanize itself to kind of say that us versus the world type of mentality. Like, if you don't want to believe in this team, or you're going to be sorry because we're going to go ahead and win this whole thing.
And I don't hate that they're in this position either. Like, I'm actually kind of excited to see what they look like coming off of all this adversity, right? And one loss to the Bills, like, whatever, put it away. But the injuries, that the guys that you've lost, like, I'm not saying it's a positive, but I think that Dan Campbell and some of these guys can turn it into a positive, which I think Dan has already kind of done. I heard his interview on Tuesday, which was great. The unedited part was even better. But that's just a way. And look, everybody hears everything nowadays with the access that, you know, the media have to players and the social media and everything. You as a player, you understand what people are talking about. You hear what people are thinking, what they're saying. So I think that there's a way for you to come out. And you're right. Sometimes you do send a message to your teammates through the media. Dan Campbell knows that. He knows when I do a Tuesday morning show and I'm going to go on a pep talk that he did for a minute and a half, it's going to go viral real quick. People are going to pick it up. And the guys in my locker room are going to hear that too. Right? We haven't necessarily had a ton of time together since all that happened. I know you go on Mondays and late in the season, you just work out. You don't really meet a lot. So leading into Wednesday, I think kind of set the tone for this group. Hey, man, like, you hear coach yesterday, like, hell yeah, let's go. Let's do this thing together. The guys that we still have together that are playing this week, that's the only thing you can afford to focus on. And I think he does an incredible job of getting his guys to bounce back from adversity. Obviously, I mean, they haven't lost back-to-back games in 2 years, 2.5 years. I think that streak is up to now. So it's impressive the way he is able to take a negative and flip it as fast as he can to turn it into a positive, to put that motivation, give those players that motivation that they need to go out, especially at this time of the year. You don't even look at the big picture right now. It's just, how can we get to Chicago? How can we get out of there with a win? And I agreed with what Coach said. At this point of the season, I don't care what it looks like. As long as you win the game, that's it. With how battered and bruised you are, guys, let's go out there. Let's keep galvanizing together. Let's get a win. We'll find a way to keep the momentum on our side a little bit and get a little bit of momentum back.
But when you're playing a team that's quit, the Bears have quit. You got to look good. I got to see what life after Aleem and Carlton looks like, TJ.
I'm not going to come out. If they win like they did on Thanksgiving, right?
What, 23-20?
Like, three-point
surviving?
Game.
Oh, I'd be terrified.
Well, was anybody saying that after Thanksgiving? That, oh my God, here
no,
we go.
No, because now the Bears, falling, we only beat the Bears have lost 70-20 the last 2 weeks. That's the difference. And look, hey, maybe you're right.
in the big picture, win and get the one seed. I agree totally. I'm saying mentally, look, I think Aleem McNeil is better than Lion fans realize. I don't think they respect what Aleem does because he doesn't play a sexy position, and frankly, most people don't know how to watch football.
Yeah, no, like, he was having an all-pro season.
Incredible season.
Too.
Yeah, I said it yesterday. He was one of the, this would be the equivalent if the Chiefs lost Chris Jones today for a season. That's what you lost. So look, Aaron Glenn has done an unreal job. The man has to be hired.
Yeah.
But TJ, when you're losing Aleem now, after losing Hutch, after losing Davenport, what do you even do at this point to try to supplement it? I don't even know. I'm asking you. I don't have the answer.
Well, and that's why I don't want to overreact to last week's game where there was no pressure on Josh Allen at all. It seemed like the front four just could not get off blocks. But I also understand there's a hesitancy that comes to rushing a passer like Josh Allen. If right. you take a risk and it's like, you know, I can beat this tackle inside, but if I miss,
he's out the back
door. I'm going to get reamed, and it's going to be a huge play. So there is a little bit of pause that gives you. So that's why I don't want to overreact and say, oh, the D-line was terrible last week. They couldn't get any pressure. Maybe that was game plan. Like, let's just bottle Josh Allen up and try to get him to, you know, force some off-platform throws, which they did. Problem is the coverage and the rush just didn't match up enough. So I don't want to judge them just off that one game. But Aaron Glenn has proven to us, late in the season last year, when Melifonwu came back and they had all these exotic packages and you don't know what they're doing on third down. There's eight guys at the line of scrimmage. Are they rushing seven? Are they dropping eight? Like, what are they going to do? I think he's shown us that he's capable of doing that. And I think he has to do that. He has to do that, especially with missing the pieces up front, especially with missing your top cover corner. You can't afford to go out there and just say, rush four, you know, press man, and just hope our guys get it done. I don't think you have the horses to do that right now. So I think if you're in Glenn, and I'd be shocked to if we get into this game Sunday, if we don't see some sort of exotic packages. Now, can that be challenging late in the season? Yeah, it's tough to install, you know, some new defenses on a Wednesday when you have 3 days to prepare. Right. But I think he's got the guys in there that you have to sit him down and say, guys, you know, look, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to do it every down. We're not changing to a 3-4 defense. We're not changing to, you know, a Minnesota double A gap every single play. But we do have to have some wrinkles on third down, in the red zone. That's going to be the difference in a lot of these games. So when I say the gap has closed, I'm not like you where it's got to be like a dominating win for me to get hope and belief back, because I think that with the players that you're missing, and it's not an excuse, it's just it's reality, I don't think you're going to be blowing teams out, you know, 52-14 anymore, especially this point of the season.
See,
but
TJ,
that's why
I
say, you know what, if you just go out there, you find a way to win, stay where you are in the standings. We can all regroup Monday. We can correct the errors that we made, but we can find a way to get that momentum back on our side.
See, I think a confidence level, yeah, you do need to blow out the Bears because they're a bad team, and they're barely holding on, and they don't want to be there. They're talking about vacations. They're talking about what they're going to do in the off season. So this is a game where you have so much to lose and very little to win because they are the Bears.
Yeah.
You're supposed to go out there and win by at least a touchdown or more. And if you don't, I mean, if you win this game by one, yes, you'll take that. But you don't feel good about the team because you're thinking, my God, if we could barely beat the Bears, it's human nature saying, well, what's going to happen down the line when you got to play, you know, the Bucs? So you're going to have to play the Eagles. You may have to play the Vikings 2 weeks in a row. You may have to play these other teams. If we're barely beating the Bears, how good is this team going to be? So that's why.
That's something that we talk about, though. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we'll get to Minnesota when we get there. That's still a couple weeks away, and they can be a completely different team. They still got a couple games to play, too, right? Mm-hmm. You never know what's going to happen.
Schedule,
so, yeah, you'll get there when you get there if you're a player side. From us, I can understand that could be a talking point.
And that's what I'm talking about from the fan, not from the player. But the players, you don't care.
Yeah,
and you just want Dan to hand out the game ball to somebody because that means you won the game.
Yeah, and look, I expect the Lions to come out this weekend and beat the hell out of the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I do. That's what I expect. I know those guys are so pissed off about all the talking points this week and, hey, we lost a couple players, so we're not good enough. Like, that's kind of the rallying cry, I think, a little bit. Like, nobody believes in us because we lost a couple guys. Well, what about the guys that we still have? We're still pretty damn good. And the fact that you're coming off a loss and the fact that this offense is coming off of, I know they got some cute points and yards there late in the game last week, but
Not good.
I put more of that Buffalo game on the offense. The first two drives of the game, punt, punt. First two drives of the second half, punt, fumble. Like, you buried your defense in a hole that was just, it was too hard to crawl out of. I think the offense is going to be pissed off, and I think the offense knows, guys, like, this is time to start clicking it up another notch, right? We've shown points throughout the season of how dangerous and unstoppable we can be. Now that we're heading into playoffs, and you are in playoff mode, coach has told us for the last 3 weeks, you're looking at, you can have a home, you can have a bye. You're one game away from being the five seed and going to L.A. in the wild card round.
I'm
going to
ask you.
So that's where players, you understand where you're at. I think this offense is going to come out pissed off, and I think they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. And like you said, if you can get up early on the Bears, they have been talking about vacation and rest, and man, it's just not our year. So if you can get up early on them, you got a real chance to bury them.
We're going to let you talk to your adoring public in a moment. Lots of people want to speak with you. But we do have a critical we have a critical TJ question.
Just one?
Yeah, only one.
Okay.
Nothing crazy. We'll get to it all next. 97.1.